over the next few weeks, I want to talk about how we relate to the rest of the world as followers of Jesus, as Christians. I've noticed some things, especially all that's going on in the world these days, and we have not always done the best job. In fact, many people who reject the idea of being a Christian do so because of the Christians they know, not because they necessarily reject Jesus himself or the teachings of Jesus. And one of the things we hear most often is that Christians are hypocrites. Sometimes it's a misunderstanding, but also sometimes we have earned that label ourselves. Luke 18:9-14 says this: "He also told us this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying this way: 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." The religious leader looked down on others who were not as spiritual as he was, including the tax collector standing nearby. You could have said what he had to say this way: "I'm not a bad guy. At least I don't do fill in the blank." And I've heard people say that, right? "I'm not that bad a person. I live a pretty good life. God's not going to send me to hell or not going to punish me. At least I'm not this, or at least I'm not a drug dealer, or at least I'm not a murderer, or at least I'm not this." That's basically what this religious leader is saying. "At least I'm not like this tax collector over here. I do this good stuff, and I do this good stuff, and I do this good stuff. Look how spiritual I am." And whether you ever verbalize that attitude out loud or not, that attitude can come across in the way that we relate to and talk to other people. In other words, if we really think we're a pretty good person and we're pretty spiritual and we're pretty on top of the God stuff and the spiritual stuff and the way that we live, then we can tend to look down on people when we realize that they're not living up to our quote-unquote our standard. And that truly does reveal our heart. It really does. It reveals something about who we are. It reveals about something where our hearts are. It reveals what's going on inside of us. There's this judgmental attitude that comes through. But I will tell you this, in God's eyes, both people in the parable are equally in need of forgiveness for sin. In fact, at the very end, Jesus says, "One went away justified and one did not." They both needed to be justified, and the tax collector went away justified because of what was going on in his heart. Maybe they had different sins. Maybe the tax collector was stealing from people or extorting money from people or not a good guy. And maybe the religious leader was a pretty religious guy. But maybe his sin was pride or his attitude or superiority or whatever's coming out of his heart. Maybe they had different sins, but they both needed forgiveness anyway. Jesus' comment in verse 14 that one went home justified and the other did not reveals that, right? The difference is the tax collector rightly sees his spiritual record before God. See, that's the big problem with what the Pharisee is saying. He doesn't see a need for God. He doesn't see it. So if that's the case, the tax collector rightly understands that he sees himself as a sinner, as in need of forgiveness, as in need of God. So when we profess, as the Pharisee does, to be a good person and do all these good things, and our lives don't match our words, we look fake and hypocritical to the rest of the world. When we think we're good, And we think we're super spiritual, and that attitude is being portrayed. But people know that we're not always kind. They know that we're not always generous, or they know that we've been mean to someone. Then they see us as hypocritical. Why would we do that? Nobody sets out and says, hey, I really want to be a hypocrite. Nobody makes that a life goal. Nobody makes that their spiritual take on who they are. Nobody even sees themselves as a hypocrite. So why would we be hypocritical? Why would we carry this misalignment in the way we are and the way we really are, the way our spiritual nature really is, and the way we think we are? The first reason is just a simple lack of spiritual self-awareness. That's the Pharisee's problem. That's the religious leader's problem. He thinks because of all this stuff that he's done, he's not like these other people, that he is somehow spiritually good. I mean, he gives his resume. He says, I thank you that I'm not like these people. I fast twice a week. I tithe my income. But I'm not like this tax collector. So we could say, if we translate that forward to today, be like, I go to church. I read my Bible. I give to my church. I'm a pretty good person. At least like I'm not like this other person. He simply lacks the spiritual awareness to understand that he needs forgiveness and he doesn't have it all figured out. Somehow it comes across that God needs him because he's so good. But Jesus says in verse 14 that he is simply not even justified. He doesn't have right status because of his prayer. The tax collector understood his status. He rightly saw that he needed to confess sin and be forgiven by God. Secondly, as Christians in our churches, I think the reason that we're perceived as hypocritical or we come across as hypocrites or even act as hypocrites is because we don't make it safe to be transparent or genuine when it comes to struggle with sin. We don't dare let anyone know that we're struggling. We don't dare confess our deepest and darkest sins to our friends. But why not? Because we're afraid that if they really knew what our sins were, they would reject us. If they really knew the kind of person deep in our heart, they would in some ways reject who we are or kick us out or not associate with us. In other words, treat us the way the Pharisee treated the tax collector. So if people really knew the real us, we would be rejected. And so what that fear does is that fear leaves us to put up this fake front. It's the classic, how are you doing? Fine. Everywhere you go, how are you doing? Fine. Even if you participate in some type of church accountability group or spiritual accountability group, and somebody asks you the really hard question, are you really going to tell them you failed again? Are you really going to confess to them and go, you know what? For the third week in a row, I still have not kept my commitment. There's something if it were safe to do so, we would. And hopefully you have that level of accountability group. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. But for the most part, our church culture does not make it safe to be transparent. Say, I am really struggling with this. Can you help me walk out of it? The result is we create these ranks of super Christians and only to see them fail publicly over and over and over again. And we can't take our eyes away from it like trying to watch a car wreck. Super pastor, mega church, reached all these people, has this huge moral failure. And there is no room for grace. There is no room for forgiveness. There is no space for him to walk back out. And because that safety is not there, that's why the failure happens in the first place. Because if he's struggling with something before failure, and he had a place where he could go and confess that and have people come alongside him whereas he struggles with temptation, then the failure would never happen. But he feels like, hey, if I let people know this is what I'm struggling with, I might have to give up this ministry that I've worked so hard to build. So I'm going to not, and I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to fight it on my own, which only ultimately leads to failure on his side. And on our side, we've pumped him up as the super Christian only to see him crash. And then what do we call him when the crash happens? We call him a hypocrite. this religious or this spiritual leader or this big pastor was supposedly this super Christian, but see, just like everybody else, he's failed. The reality of the spiritual walk is none of us are super Christians. We all fail. We all struggle. The question becomes, can we be honest about that and open about that and walk through it together? Can we be open and honest with God and realize that we really do need forgiveness the way the man in the parable did? Or do we pump up ourselves and go, look how good a Christian I am, and not even see what's really going inside of us spiritually until the crash comes? If we're going to show the world the hope and the joy of following Jesus, then we have to be transparent enough to show them that we don't have following him perfectly figured out. Let me say that again. If we're going to show the world what a real Christ follower looks like, and how joyful and how hopeful it is to have a God who loves us and forgives us anyway, then we also have to be transparent enough to say, I need Jesus every single day. I don't have this figured out. I'm not Superman. I'm not perfect. I still struggle. Let's walk through this struggle together. If we're going to relate to a world and they're not going to call us hypocrite, then we can't pretend like the tax collector, like the Pharisee, that we don't have sin. We have to stay there and go, help me, God, because I am a sinner in need of salvation, in need of grace, and in need of your Holy Spirit's empowerment to walk in the way that you've called me to walk. We need him every single day. Salvation is not something you prayed 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 30 years ago. Salvation is that, it's that, but it's also this ongoing struggle to be who God's called us to be. And that means being aware that we're not home yet and we have more work to do. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to change us, and we need to invite the whole world into that spiritual journey with us. Let me pray for you. God, as we talk about this, I can think back to my own spiritual walk and how sometimes am I even good enough to be in ministry? It is such a hard challenge to follow you and to be elevated as a spiritual leader. We recognize that we need you every day. Forgive us where we fail you. Empower us to not fail you again. Make us who you meant us to be. Draw us closer to you. Help us move on towards the perfection you've called us to. Help us to walk faithfully with you. In Christ's name, amen.